If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Abraham Lincoln, 1838, Abraham Lincoln, 1863, Abraham Lincoln, 1865, describing three speeches featured in Diana Schaub's new book, His Greatest Speeches, How Lincoln Moved the Nation, as a young man, as a president, and as a man weeks from his death. Professor, a very good evening to you. It is most helpful to have these three speeches now because we are always looking at the Civil War. It's right there. It's 10 minutes behind us. And it comes into our common speech. And to have Lincoln's point of view as a young man, as a president, and as a man who was aware of the tragedy of the war deaths around him in his second inaugural. We begin with the Lyceum speech in 1838. This is January. And he is a young man, ambitious. He has not yet met Mary Todd. He's a single man in Springfield, a new capital of a new rich possibility state. He's invited to give an address at the Lyceum, and the address and the topic are very much consistent with the rest of his life. What is Lincoln's thinking this night? What does he want to achieve in the Lyceum address? Good evening to you.
Yes, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I think you're right to draw attention to the ambition of the young Lincoln. He tackles the very largest topics. This is, in a way, a speech of political philosophy. He's trying to figure out what are the permanent threats to democracy and to propose certain solutions to those threats. This brings him into conversation with his greatest forebears. So I very much read the Lyceum address as a in the tradition of Washington's farewell address. Washington also was delivering warnings and advice about the threats ahead. They are both, in a way, delivering lessons in political theory. And in the course of doing that, Lincoln will be putting himself against certain significant figures of his own day, people like John C. Calhoun and William Lloyd Garrison and the reigning Democratic president, Martin Van Buren.
The revelations in your explication are many, and you've mentioned them here, that Lincoln has in mind contemporary powerful figures, John C. Calhoun representing the slaveocracy. And George Washington, of course, is gone, but the memory is revered. I find that building the speech on George Washington's farewell address, is that something that his audience would have known intimately and understood that he was doing that?
Yes, possibly. Certainly, Washington's farewell was a very familiar speech. I think it was already, I'm not sure about this, but was already maybe being read at the beginning of each congressional session, being read aloud. It still is today. So Washington's farewell was very, very well known. Young people, students would have studied it, and Lincoln certainly did so. He was familiar with its text from the Parson Weems biography of Washington that we know Lincoln had as a young boy.
Critical are terms of philosophy within the speech. The first to come up against is perpetuation, perpetuality, perpetual. It wasn't until your explanation guiding me to Lincoln's speech that I remembered or Perhaps I forgot that the word is in the Articles of Confederation. It's right there.
That's right.
All right.
It's the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union. And then the U.S. Constitution pledges itself to achieve a more perfect union. So perpetuity is the aim.
That is 50 years before this address. So we need to explore perpetuation. Perpetuation, how was it used at the time?
I think it is a term that maybe has some religious resonance, eternity. It is a term that Lincoln applies specifically to our political institutions. So what he is interested in is the perpetuation of our political institutions. So this is a speech about how to make sure that our frame of government remains intact. It is a speech about reverence for the Constitution and about the current threats to the Constitution that Lincoln sees in the outbreak of mob rule, which is occurring, he says, across the land pervasively.
Now we come to the driver. The driver is the threat. There are two levels of threat I learned from the professor in this speech. The first level, the professor is referenced. There is mob rule in Illinois. There is mob rule down the Mississippi. Who was Elijah Lovejoy, and what would they have remembered about him?
Yes. So in this speech, Lincoln talks about these instances of mob rule, and the ones that he specifically mentions have occurred in Mississippi, where gamblers were first targeted, and then a Missouri mob, which lynched a black man who had been presumed guilty of murder. So he mentions those episodes, but he does not mention or only gives a kind of brief reference to the murder of Elijah Lovejoy, an abolitionist who had set up an abolitionist newspaper in St. Louis. And then after having been driven out of St. Louis, he crossed the river into Alton, Illinois. And the anti-abolitionist fervor followed him there. There was a melee, and Lovejoy was murdered. So that is the incident that is uppermost in the minds of Lincoln's audience. But he doesn't want to trigger the passions associated with that incident. And so he doesn't invoke it explicitly, but instead he addresses this problem of the passions through somewhat more distant examples.
Lincoln has a philosophy that says there's a problem and then there's a resolution or a solution. He's ever the lawyer, ever the man in the courtroom persuading the jury or the judge. The problem is vigilantism. And what is the answer in young Lincoln's mind?
The answer is reverence for the Constitution and laws. He understands why people might be tempted to vigilante action. You want justice. You are outraged at instances of injustice. And so you take the law into your own hands. And he sees this shortcut to justice has become very, very attractive and widespread. And that is what he needs to counter. And so he recommends not only law abidingness, but a reverent law abidingness. He recognizes that there are bad laws, but he says even those bad laws must be religiously obeyed until they can be addressed through normal democratic procedures.
And by that, he refers to the metaphor of the ballot or the bullet. That's important to the young man in 1838, and it will be a consistent theme all the way through his life.
That's right. In other words, he's delivering a lesson in democratic theory. Once a democratic people has agreed to be bound by the ballot, they have to stick to that promise. They don't get to have recourse back to the bullet. In other words, he's in a way trying to tame or temper a certain revolutionary spirit, a revolutionary spirit that was warranted in the fight against British tyranny, but is no longer the proper solution for a self-governing democratic people.
The second problem and resolution in the Lyceum speech is more classical. And when we come back, that classicism is evidence that the young Lincoln, who was self-educated, this is a man who's read books his whole life. In fact, the professor says he's a textual fundamentalist. So what we're looking at here is a man who has built his imagination on being able to quote and reference speeches. When we come back, Abraham Lincoln and the Problem with Passion. The new book is His Greatest Speeches, How Lincoln Moved the Nation. Diana Schaub is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.